is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, is traveling. He's in Guatemala City. And Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, he's here in North America with me. We begin immediately with the story of migration, dominating political news, but the facts help a great deal when doing politics. This is Reuters within these last days. U.S. President Joe Biden and leaders from Canada, Latin America, and the Caribbean pledged to strengthen the Western Hemisphere's supply chains as Washington works to counter Chinese and stem regional migration. Biden hosted leaders from Barbados, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Peru, and Uruguay, and top officials from Mexico and Panama at the White House. The concern, the great concern, is prosperity, but underneath that prosperity is migration. Joseph, I begin with you because you're in the Northern Triangle of Central America, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Right now, Guatemala City is said to be part of the problem. The Guatemalans have joined the movement north. To your understanding, there's now a caravan out there, much reported, on its way north right now. To your understanding, has the Guatemala government now being formed, or the former Guatemala government that's stepping off stage when the handover happens, have they solved migration? Have they answered the root cause that was a concern of the Biden administration 2 years ago? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. So the short answer is no. They have done a lot of work on dismantling kind of the logistical corridors of mass migrant caravans. That's why they're now forming in Mexico directly instead of forming in Honduras or Guatemala as they were before. But as you know, and as we've reported on the show, there's a high level of political instability here in Guatemala. So the outgoing government, the outgoing president, is pretty much on non-speaking terms at this point with the president-elect, who will be inaugurated in January. Just a few days ago, less than a week ago, this started to escalate some more because the attorney general's office here in Guatemala canceled the political party, essentially rendered them illegal because of some irregularities on how they registered themselves in the first place. So with all the political instability that's going on, today, when I'm down here, I don't see a lot of the protests that I saw the last time I was here about a month ago. But there is still this tense environment. And along with that, essentially, is a lack of focus on some of these bigger issues like drug trafficking and migration and all the likes. So I would say that if you're going to be if you're one of those organizers of those big migrant caravans, right now is a good time because most of Central America, where most of these migrants come from, is complete in political disarray.
Ernesto, a very good evening to you. I read from a Reuters report, Mexico City, a large migrant caravan comprising many Central Americans and Venezuelans left southern Mexico for the United States within these last days. And officials said, as Washington grapples with renewed pressure on its southern border. I mention this caravan because it's much in the news, and also because that report I read about the meeting at the White House with President Biden and leaders from the hemisphere. I did not see Brazil listed. Perhaps I read too quickly, but I've checked again and again. What is the Lula da Silva government's opinion of this migration crisis at the southern border, or the disruption of Venezuela, Colombia, all of the Central American states by the migration? Does Brasilia have a position on this? Good evening to you, Ernesto.
Good evening, John. So the official position would be that Brazil has nothing to do with it, and that the United States must respect the human rights of migrants and whatever is actually done to curb migration is always prone to be considered an offense to human rights or whatever. So I think that's above the surface. In practice, in what matters, Brazil obviously is part of the support system of Maduro in Venezuela and all the narco regimes which are associated in one way or another with Russia, China, and Iran in the region of, about which we talk so often here. So, if you consider as plausible that the migration crisis is at least in part engineered by those foreign powers and is implemented through people like Maduro and Petro in Colombia, So Brazil is part of the scheme because directly or indirectly, Brazil is helping and Lula is helping in fostering that crisis. So I don't see in the current situation any willingness from the West or from Brazil to treat this as a problem where Brazil could give a contribution. So, and it, this talks about the lack of strategy and the lack of depth, I think, from the part of the U.S. administration and recognizing what the causes of the problem really are. Because if the causes were really investigated, Brazil should be a part of this, because at least indirectly, Brazil could pressure Venezuela to do something, right? What I see is... one more example of ignorance, deliberate or not, from the Biden administration regarding what Brazil is now, what role Lula plays in the region. Okay. So Brazil should be held accountable for what we're doing in supporting Maduro and what we're doing in supporting the narco regimes and what we're doing by extent to support illegal migration. Not to talk about the Brazilians who are very numerous, apparently, among the migrants, not as much as the Venezuelans, but also numerous. So I think it's a question of lack of strategy from the part of the U.S. And from Brazil, I mean, from Lula's point of view, it's all fine. Everything that's bad for the U.S. is good for Lula.
I mentioned, gentlemen, that in these last days I've talked to two brothers, Anthony and Joshua Rubin, who made the trek north to Panama from Ecuador. And I was struck by the anecdotes that they tell about the journey. And I want to repeat quickly what I learned and ask your comments. They both flew into Quito, the capital of Ecuador, where they found everyone flying in walked right in, no visa requirements, whatever. Just walk right through the airport. Of course, they're carrying American passports that would never be an issue. But they saw large groups of other nationals who may or may not have provided visas when they came into the country. It has a reputation, I'm told, of being easy to walk in. Chinese nationals, Venezuelan nationals, Syrian nationals, all countries represented, walking to a public bus and taking the bus north to the Colombia border at Tulcan, where they found that not only were the NGOs available at the Quito airport, which is sensible given it's the capital of a very poor country, but the same NGOs helping immigrants were available at the Colombia-Ecuador border, where you can just walk across without any passport control of any kind. It's a road. You walk into Colombia. You get on another bus if you're an immigrant. You're headed to the Darien Gap. You take a long bus ride across Colombia. I think they said 11 hours. It's a long bus ride through the mountainous areas. Very spectacular. To a place on the coast of Colombia called Nacocli. Nacocli is where, again, the NGOs, the United Nations, Red Cross, IOM, other organizations are there to help the migrants. They know they're coming. And you, at Nacocli, you hire a boat. You can take the expensive one and take across the isthmus, across the little body of water there, and land in Panama and start the trail. Or you can take a cheap one and go to the Colombia on the other side of the body of water and walk from Colombia over the mountainous trail into Panama without border control. And then you start the trek north. It's 1-2 days of jungle walking in groups of 40, led by indigenous people's guides. They hand you off from one indigenous tribe to another, and you arrive at a series of rivers where you're taken in dugout canoes to camps and then moved to the big camp, San Vicente, where the buses await you to go to Costa Rica, 4 days across the famous Darien Gap. All the way, the NGOs are there to provide maps in your language. The brothers told me that the reason they were interested in making this trek, is in addition to not being able to keep their feet dry, was that they had a map in Mandarin. They had translated very detailed instructions about where to go, how much it costs, what to take with you, where you're going in Panama. And they saw large groups of Chinese nationals marching on this trail, groups of 40 leaving every 10 minutes. And once you reach Panama, you're then having bus routes north through Central America to the American border. Joe, I tell all this because when we come back, I'm going to ask you both to comment on the fact that the Chinese, the Venezuelans, the Afghans, the Americans, everybody's informed about this. The UN isn't keeping it a secret, and yet no challenge whatsoever, according to the brothers, all their way to Panama City. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Ernesto Araujo and Joseph Umar. I'm John Batchelor.